to the adventure on Putnam on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and our next guest is on a different day because we're going all the way down under to one of the originators of thrash metal in Australia. I want to welcome to the show Carl from Nothing Sacred.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the invite. Glad to be here.
Oh, glad to have you, being that I am an old school early 80s thrash metalhead.
Okay, cool. So am I.
I'll tell you a funny story. Okay, so before there was a such word as thrash metal, I was going to see this band at the Troubadour in LA. It was like their first or second show, and man, they were really, really badass. And then after the show, this dude comes over to me and starts talking to me from the band, and he ends up handing me his business card, and it says Metallica Power Metal Dave Mustaine.
Well, that's pretty good.
So there wasn't even a thrash metal, that Metallica was power metal.
That's right. Well, we probably started before there was thrash as well. We didn't call ourselves thrash when we were starting off. I don't think we knew what we were. We were probably heavily influenced by even the punk, some of the punk stuff from the 70s.
Yeah.
So we just like to play fast, especially live, go as fast as we could. And I guess it just kind of evolved.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Isn't thrash metal just really the beginning of the crossover between punk and metal? You know, I think it had both influences in it, which is what made it what it was.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I mean, and that really worked for us too, because in the early days, our drummer, actually, Sham, he left the band for a short while and joined a punk band. And then he came back and joined back with us. And as a result of those connections, we did a lot of gigs in the early days actually playing with punk bands. So we'd turn up at the venue and, you know, we'd have the headbangers on one side, the punks on the other side. And, you know, the first couple of gigs, it was a bit strange. There was a lot of people staring at each other. But eventually it just became a thing. Everybody got into it. So, yeah, I guess that's exactly right. We just kind of evolved out of that kind of blending of different things that were happening. It was fun.
Yeah, no doubt. Because I remember when I first got into it, it was a long hair couldn't go to a punk show and a punk couldn't go to a metal show. And then so I was friendly with Slayer in the very beginning too. And Lombardo and Hanneman were both into punk. So that's where like kind of Slayer sound started, that kind of allowed punks to go to, you know, Slayer shows and the punks and the long hairs to coexist.
Exactly. And yeah, on a much smaller scale, nowhere near the size of anything to do with Slayer, even early Slayer. But yeah, in Australia, we were very much involved in that sort of crossover in the early days as well. I mean, those were the days when we would play and we could easily, yeah, there'd be 200-300 people there. And that's for bands that were just local bands with no management, no support, no promotion or anything like that. Just a lot of people used to like coming to gigs. So it was always great. And amazingly enough, despite what people would think, with so many punks and so much leather and whatever, there was never any trouble. We never had brawls. We never had, there weren't cops being called. It was just good times. It was really good. And that's really where we started from. That was our background.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I think that's the misconception about, you know, our type of music, you know, that people out there think it's all about death, destruction, and hurting and maiming. And really, we're just one big family that's getting out some healthy aggression in a very united way.
Oh, yeah. And look, even carrying on right through to today, where, I still go just go out even to local gigs, watch other bands playing around at the moment, international bands obviously as well. But and I've seen, you know, mosh pits and whatever kick off, and you'll often see if someone goes down, there's a lot of people willing to just, you know, help them back up and make sure they're okay. Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be some exceptions, I suppose, but generally speaking, people get pretty full on. There's a fair amount happening in a pit nowadays, but if somebody gets injured, everybody makes sure they're okay. There's a lot of looking after people.
No doubt. And, you know, you can go to a show like that, and it's just united immediately, in my opinion. Like, we're in a world right now that is so divided, and, you know, people are picking sides. But in the metal world, we're just one big team, you know, and it doesn't matter who you are, what race you are, what your sexual preference is. Any of these issues they're talking about nowadays doesn't matter in the pit.
No, exactly. And whether that's why I got into it or not in the early days, I've got no idea, but I love it. It's always been Melbourne here in Australia, you know, metal's, it's actually probably bigger now than it used to be in one sense. But back in the 80s, we had absolutely zero support from the industry here. I mean, yeah, AC/DC was as tough as it got. Yeah. Which is fine. AC/DC were great. I've seen AC/DC plenty of times when they were just a pub band. But, you know, we never had support from the industry there, so we were a real community. You know, it felt a little bit of that us against the world, you know, bands and the fans were all in it together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a great time, and still is.
Totally, which is why I'm so excited that I feel like now in 2021 that there's more thrash than there's been since the 80s.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. Australia in particular, there's a lot of great thrash bands around now. You know, we play with a couple of them now and then. We play some shows. We don't actually play all that much at the moment. We haven't been playing a lot live, partly because of the obvious pandemic and stuff, which has shut everything down for a year. But even before that, we've had a couple of lineup changes in the last 3 or 4 years that just slowed us down a little bit. You know, I guess it's just part of being a little bit older. People move in different directions, move at different speeds. So we've had to sort of adjust the lineup a couple of times. So we haven't played a lot, but when we do play, there's a lot of great bands, just local bands here. I mean, I love it. Love seeing some of these guys are half my age or even younger, but they're great and they play fast. They play hard. I can't keep up with them half the time.
I bet there's mad respect because I think in our community, there's mad respect for the originators.
We've actually been surprised sometimes because we never took that next step and went up, you know, got any sort of industry and support or got into any major label or anything like that. So everything we ever did was always self-financed, self-released, that sort of stuff. So we never crossed that, you know, reached that point that we would have been probably hoping for when we were younger. So to us, it was always just what we did, you know. But nowadays, you sometimes do occasionally come across people and they're actually quite into what we were doing back then, which sometimes it even surprises us.
Yeah, right. That must be like a shock because, you know, you're an underground band and then, you know, 30, 40 years later, people are like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Well, look, we went to, the first time we made it out of the country, we went to Japan in 2015. And I remember the night we played at Osaka, we weren't quite sure what we were getting into, really. It was just a great opportunity. We got the offer. We were really happy to accept it. It was a great time. We were there. Crowd turned up. It was probably 150 people crammed into a tiny little venue. So it was pretty hot, pretty sweaty, which is good. And as soon as we hit the stage and started playing, the crowd, they're you know, 98% Japanese, obviously, and they were all singing the songs. They were singing the words and stuff, and I was blown away.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it made no sense to me, but I was happy.
Yeah, there you go. And now you have a new album coming out in July, No Gods, that they can start learning the lyrics to.
Exactly. We started on this probably around the time of Osaka, really. But then, let's say we had the lineup changes and then we had COVID. So it's taken a while, but we got it finished late last year, got it mixed. And now we've signed a couple of deals with some small labels. It's great to finally have an opportunity again. It's taken us a hell of a long time. Yeah. I sort of roll my eyes at it when, you know, it's taken literally nearly 30 years between albums, which is, you know, kind of ridiculous, but that's just the way it happens, I guess, sometimes.
Well, you know, the best things come to those who wait.
Yeah, well, we've had to be pretty patient.
so have the listeners, and they're going to love this music because, you know, I checked it out and, you know, you got a new video that coincidentally is from a song from 30 years ago. You have two on the album, like the rest is new, but you have two from the archives that just, you know, kind of, they were great songs that just never made the cut for whatever reason, and now here you have it now. And I was checking out Final Crime and it gave me chills because it brought me back to those times. Like, I'm a thrash metalhead through and through, and this song was thrash metal through and through.
Yeah, well, thank you, and I appreciate that. That's really good to hear, because that's what we were aiming for, obviously. But yeah, exactly that. We recorded, and we actually did record a second album in the late 80s, but it was never released for various reasons, part of which was we had a band lineup change right at a crucial time when we were recording. The singer left. We didn't get to finish the album back then, and then various things happened and blah, blah, blah. It's both boring and hard to remember because it's so long ago. But a couple of the tracks off that album, we just never wanted to let them go because they used to be the mainstays of our live track. Final Crime was like used to be our opening number for a while there in the late 80s. And so, yeah, we really wanted to bring that one back. And we brought back another track, Oracle, which was got released last year as the B-side for our first single. We put out a 7-inch vinyl. just to be completely retro, we decided to go vinyl. And we put another one of the old tracks as the B-side, but it'll also be on the album now. And so they were a great opportunity to sort of pull out those songs and do them again the way we always wanted to. And then we just added another 8 tracks, which are all pretty much new. And look, you know, they're not all thrash. The album's actually got a lot of variety on it, but that's because we just felt like we need to just record what we think we are.
Yeah.
rather than try to force anything. So yeah, there's plenty of variety, and it's good. There's a couple of real thrashers in there as well, which we love.
And I agree with variety anyway, because like in the old days, you didn't really have much variety. You didn't really cross genre, but now it happens quite often. And I think it just makes for, you know, a more well-rounded musician. Like, people don't realize if you're a musician, you want to experiment. And I think back in the 80s, you almost weren't allowed to experiment as much as you are now. So it gives you the ability, like you said, to just play the music that you think is just you.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, whether now is a better time to do it or not, I'm not sure. I mean, I think you're kind of right. I mean, the 80s used to be very, going back even to that punk metal thing we were talking about. I mean, you know, punks and metalheads didn't used to try to cross the lines. I mean, they stayed in their little areas, generally speaking. We used to cross the line back then. We were encouraging people to come with us and do that. And so that's probably just something we've always done. We just play what we think we need to play right now. And so if there's one track on the album, which is actually quite slow, it's not a ballad, but the track ended up being called Stoner because pretty much it just sounds like a stoner song. So, you know, it seemed pretty easy to name it that. But that's exactly what we were going for. It just felt right to play that song. It's pretty different to most of the other stuff we've ever done, but we like it. That's actually going to be one of the clips. You've got another couple of videos coming up in the next couple of months. And Stoner, I think, is going to be the third. I think it'll be released third. Yeah, so we're looking forward to seeing what people think of that, because it's not normally what we would play, but but we like it.
And, you know, that's all that counts. In my opinion, the true musicians play the music that they like, because you can't please everybody. So if you play what you like, then you're authentic.
Oh, well, absolutely. I've always thought that. I mean, you know, we just, strangely enough, too, it's one of the things we've always done, which actually, you know, like you mentioned before, Metallica and stuff. I mean, even Metallica have done a fair bit of this. We used to play covers, not, you know, full sets, but we'd always, virtually every gig we did, we'd put in at least one cover just somewhere in the set. And we'd rotate them. We didn't tend to play the same covers all that often. But yeah, just because we felt like it, we just wanted to play a song we liked, even if it was someone else's. So yeah, we used to do that. And, you know, that was kind of a bit unusual. A lot of original bands think you can't really play covers because it's not right or something. And maybe that's true, but it just wasn't us. We just played what we felt like on the night. So, you know, if we felt like doing a Motorhead track, we did.
There you go. And I think a lot of metal bands will play covers and they'll put their own spin on it. You know, listen, punk was also very famous for that. You know, punk used to take a lot of covers and just change it into a punk song, you know? And so I think it's cool. What do you think is your favorite cover that you would play or have played?
Oh, man. There's been a few. Gee, I loved that early, what they call the new album, the new wave of British heavy metal. I really loved a lot of those bands, but in particular, I loved Motorhead. So, you know, we've played, oh, I don't know how many Motorhead songs we would have played over the years live. We used to play Ace of Spades fairly often. We used to crank that up fairly fast.
Yeah.
We were doing Stormtroopers of Death. We recorded Freddy Krueger for the album.
Oh, nice.
We used to love playing Freddy Krueger live. That just went off. The crowd used to love it.
I love that song. That would be pretty cool live for sure.
Yeah, it was. It was great. So we used to play Freddy Krueger a fair bit. We played we used to do Four Horsemen. We did Four Horsemen for a while. But we played some Led Zeppelin. We used to play a Led Zeppelin track.
Nice.
Yeah, like I said, plenty of stuff.
Yeah, the Four Horsemen and Seek and Destroy are like my favorite Metallica songs ever. And I remember being a teenager and going to shows in L.A. And like you would go back to the band's house to party all night long afterwards. And everybody would line up and headbang to the Four Horsemen at all these after parties from shows in L.A. in the 80s.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect song to do it to, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Track. It's killer.
It's so funny, too, because I was talking to one of my friends yesterday, and it's so interesting how many people don't realize that Mechanics by Megadeth was the original Four Horsemen before they split up. And I was like, I was saying this to somebody, and they're, I was like, you realize that Mechanics is the Four Horsemen and vice versa. And they're like, no way. And then so I pulled up Mechanics and played it. And, you know, when they were listening to it, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's right. It's funny you mentioned Megadeth and stuff because we were booked to support them on the Australian tour in 88, I think it was. And they cancelled at the last minute. So that was probably, back in those days, that was our biggest disappointment ever.
I imagine.
We were ready, and I think we'd just done the album, ready for release, and we secured the tour, and we were patting ourselves on the back, and then it all fell in a heap.
So, yeah, wow.
That's life.
And here you are. So maybe we can make it happen now, where you guys could go on tour at Megadeth in like 2022, maybe.
Is it going to be any touring until about 2030, whatever?
Oh, God. It is looking promising over here. There's already some starting, like small stuff. But I do, you know, all these major metal and punk festivals. And I have a bunch lined up for the fall, although I'm cautiously optimistic. Like, we're promoting them now, like Aftershock, Louder Than Life, Incarceration, and we even have one coming up in July, and I'm like, there's no way you can do one in July, but the fall I'm like, well, maybe, but who knows?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's hard to know, isn't it? Really, I mean, we've got local gigs are almost back to normal here now. We had the really hard lockdown late last year. We were we're in the state of Victoria. We were locked down for nearly, I think it was 100 days. We weren't allowed to travel more than 5Ks from our home, basically. So the pretty much the entire state was locked down for 100 days. So we got right on top of it. We have no COVID cases at all. We have one a week or something. So because of that, things are pretty good, but only locally. They're not letting anybody in from overseas. So, you know,
well, they're smart.
No international bands happening.
Well, they're smart. But you know what? You guys did it smarter than us for sure, because you know, you kind of killed it right from the get-go, whereas, you know, in our country, everybody's like a rebel.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. You know, we don't tend to think of ourselves as being overly conformist here, but, you know, when it came time, there was a little bit of kickback from, you know, to a few places, but generally people just got on with it and got it over and done with, so we sort of bit the bullet, hopefully. So, yeah, hopefully it's not going to come back and bite us in the ass, but hopefully it is done.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Seems to be.
Well, that's why I think it's like you did what you had to do and you got over it quickly, whereas we're just here, like, dying a slow, painful death.
Yeah, unfortunately for some people, that's exactly what it is. So, you know, yeah. Well, look, I'm just really hoping to see the end of it. We have always, well, not always, well, yeah, probably always, but especially the last couple of years, our focus has definitely been on trying to finally, you know, visit a few more places around the world and have a chance to play. So, you know, the COVID has completely destroyed that for the last 18 months. So we'll have to focus on 2022, 2023, see what can get happening.
Yeah, there you go.
Hopefully this album will be a start towards that.
Absolutely. And tell everybody how they can get the album, how they can connect with you on social media, on the web, everything they need to know so that they can check out all your music and get your merch and get your album and all that good stuff.
Yeah, sure. Well, basically, we've got a somewhat complicated situation. In the US and Europe, we're handled by Rockshots, a small Italian label. They've taken us on board and they've been really supportive of us. So if you head to the Rockshots website, I'm not sure exactly what the URL is, but they've got a pre-order there. The album's due out in July, but you can pre-order it now. We've also got a deal with a South American label, a small label down there. That guy's been tremendous for us. He's actually just put together a big box set of a lot of our 80s stuff. We've repackaged it. Myself and the drummer Sham put together a little punk band in about 84. And for some bizarre reason, we spent one Christmas going into a studio and just recorded 5 songs, so which we released on cassette, and that was it. But we've dug those out, put that on. So this box set has come out. It's come out through the South American label. So that's been his main focus, but he's also going to be handling the album for the South American market. And then we've got a local label here, Rue Morgue Records, who are dealing with it in Australia. So you can find us pretty quick. Do a quick search for Nothing Sacred. You'll find us, no worries. We're on Facebook. You can always come in and have a chat with us because myself or Sham are always wandering past the Facebook page checking out what's happening. Other than that, you know, check out YouTube. Check out the clip. See if you like it.
And I think they will love it. And I'm going to give the exact for pre-ordering the CD, the exact website. It's one of those short names. So it's bit.ly/NoGodsCD. So if you go there, and you can also pre-save by going to bit.ly/NoGodsDigital. And then if, you know, you want to check things out on Spotify, you might want to write this down because you might not remember this, but you go to Spotify/3N, lowercase n, capital N, and capital I, capital I, G, G, and it's a lowercase. But it would probably be easier, guys, just go to Spotify and look up Nothing Sacred and look up No Gods, and it'll probably be easier that way for Spotify.
Yeah. You got to be careful on Spotify. I don't know why, but there are about 5 Nothing Sacreds on Spotify. You got to be careful which one you're finding, because there's an LA glam band. There's a, there's a New York punk band or something. There's a number of bands that have popped up over the years that have borrowed the name.
Wow.
And that's okay. That's okay. We're not overly protective. It's all right. You'll find us. If people want to find us, they'll find us.
And there's only one thrash. Nothing sacred.
Yeah, as far as I know, we're the only thrash band.
There you go. So do you have any final words you want to share with the listeners that we haven't covered yet that you think they ought to know?
No, not really. I just want to thank you for the opportunity, man. It's been really good talking to you. And look, it's really good that we've finally been able to get to where we wanted to be. It's taken us, like I said, we started this particular album probably nearly 4 years ago now. It's just been disrupted, but we got there. And look, we're really looking forward to having a chance maybe next year to actually play live, because that's when we shine, I think. The album is great, but I think we're a live band, so we look forward to getting that chance.
I look forward to it too. And you know, one of my mantras is persist until you succeed, and this album is definitely the ultimate in that mantra.
That's right. Never say die.
There you go. Love it. All right. Well, thanks a lot. And thanks for the great music. Thanks for being on The Adventures of Pipe Man.
No worries. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to The Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.